Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of Sudarshan Chemical Industries, hosted by Prabhudas Lilladher Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nitesh Dhoot from Prabhudas Lilladher Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening. On behalf of Prabhudas Lilladher, I welcome everyone to Sudarshan Chemical Industries Limited's conference call to discuss Q1 FY23 results. We have the management team from Sudarshan Chemicals represented by Mr. Rajesh Rathi, Managing Director, Mr. Neelkanth Natu, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Vivek Thakur, General Manager Finance, and Mr. Mandar Welankar, Company Secretary. Without further ado, I will now hand over the call to the management for making their opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Am I audible, Nitesh? Hello.
Yes, sir, you are.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhudas Lilladher Private Limited and Nitesh Dhoot for hosting our investor earnings call. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Sudarshan's Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. Our investor presentation has been uploaded on the stock exchanges for your ready reference. I would like to take you through the financial highlights for this quarter. It was indeed a very challenging quarter, both on the sales as well as the margin front. On a consolidated basis, total income from operations stood at rupees 554 crore as compared to 474 crore for the same period last year, reporting a growth of 17%. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 41 crore as compared to rupees 52 crore in Q1 FY22. EBITDA margin is at 7.5% as compared to 13.1% over the same period last year. Profit after tax is at rupees 7 crore as compared to rupees 26 crore for the same period last year. Now going into the details of our pigment business. For the quarter, income from operations stood at rupees 526 crore as compared to rupees 453 crore for the same period last year, a growth of 16% year-on-year. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 44 crore as compared to rupees 66 crore in Q1 FY22. EBITDA margin stood at 8.3% as compared to 14.5% over the same period last year. Domestic sales for the quarter is at rupees 268 crore as compared to rupees 202 crore in the same period last year, growth of 32.5% year-on-year. This was on a lower base of last year Q1, which was COVID impacted due to COVID wave two. We have seen buying decisions deferment by the customer due to volatility in overall prices, which is resulting in lower inventory level at the customer's end. Sales in the plastic segment is impacted due to the supply chain issues related to the polymer availability and also pricing volatility during the quarter. Polymer prices has crashed by more than 10% in the last 1 month, due to which customers are anticipating further price drop and hence the buying decisions were deferred. Export for the quarter were at rupees 258 crore compared to rupees 251 crore, a growth of 2.8% year-on-year. Runaway inflation across commodities, tightening of monetary policy by majority of the central bank, rising interest rate, geopolitical situation due to Russia-Ukraine war are leading to subdued demand across majority of the regions. Specialty pigments sales stood at rupees 352 crore as compared to rupees 318 crore for the previous year same quarter, up by 10.7%. Non-specialty sales for the quarter stood at rupees 174 crore as compared to rupees 135 crore for the same period last year, 28.9%. Gross margin for the quarter stood at 40.3% compared to 47.1% for the same period last year. We see prices of intermediates for specialty pigment continued at a elevated level, though at a relatively stable status in comparison to the inflationary trend seen in FY22. We see further increases in some of the inputs going into the non-specialty pigment. Apart from the raw material cost increases, we continue to see energy and logistic costs at an elevated level. Coal prices have gone up further and at around 200% of Q1 FY22 levels. This is pushing up overall manufacturing costs. The challenges in the logistics area are continuing. Shortage of shipping containers due to the COVID situation in China, congestion at various ports leading to delays in the shipping. This has led to freight cost escalation of 2x over Q1 FY22. Softer demand in the international geographies did put additional pricing pressure to pass on full increases in the indirect cost. With the direct as well as indirect material cost pressure lingering, we will have to continue with our pricing decision with a calibrated approach to balance on the volume growth. Now coming to the CapEx project, which is our thrust for future growth. We are in the growth phase to implement overall CapEx of 750 crore, out of which we have put to use assets worth rupees 528 crore till now. Balance 202 crore projects are part of the capital work in progress. Put to use for this project was pushed out due to delay in some of the equipment deliveries. These projects are at the advanced stage of completion and we expect to commercialize it by end of H1 FY23. About 70% of our CapEx has been put to use and started generating revenue. For the new product CapEx, we are getting good response from the customers and these products are at advanced stage of evaluation. As we are stabilizing the new CapEx project due to teething issues, the operational performance has not been up to the mark, that is lower yield and higher manufacturing cost. And we expect it to smoothen in the next couple of quarters. And then this CapEx project will start generating expected performance. Happy to share with you that Sudarshan has won the honor of Brands of Maharashtra in the first quarter. Company has stood out as a leader which exemplifies excellence and impact to the society at large. We look forward to continuing our growth journey and delivering value to all our stakeholders. With this now, I open the floor for question answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sanjesh from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. I think there is a problem in the call. There is a lot of disturbance, but I hope you can hear me, right?
Yes, we can hear you, sir. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Couple of questions. First, on the demand side, Mr. Rathi did mention that we have seen some slowing down of demand because of the de-inventorization by the client. You mean de-inventorization for our product or for the polymer? And was this only for the plastic segment or we have seen this for the other segment also? Now, given that the prices are on a declining trend, customer could be anticipating lower prices. And that is the reason they are looking to de-inventorize, or there is an issue on the demand side. So what is leading to this slower growth? Hello?
Hi, sir. So this is Rajesh Rathi here. Thank you, sir, for your question. I think what we were talking about is if you look at the three segments in India, coatings and printing inks has been performing quite well. the main issue has been in the plastic market. I think for more than I think more than 50% of the time there was a polymer availability issue, and then there was a lot of price increases in the polymer. So that's where we saw the demand to be reduced. Now what we are looking at is the polymer prices have started drastically reducing, and people are looking at people are just ensuring that they don't carry the high inventory, and that's why they're just delaying what it is. Going forward, we see you know, this the plastic demand probably was the worst in the last quarter. This quarter we should see some improvements, and the quarter after that should come back to normal. That's what we feel.
So this should impact us also, right? We are also carrying enough inventory, and are falling inventory prices, you know, falling raw material prices. This applies to us as well, right? We may see an heightened impact on our margins, and probably one of the reasons why our margins are so low in this quarter is because we are able to sell off a high cost inventory, and we are selling it at a lower price now as the prices continues to decline. Is this one of the reason why margins are under so much of pressure?
So I think the margins are further margin pressure was two areas, sir. There is a lot of you know, the volume, there's been a volume drop, though you see a sales increase. Volumes have not dropped. We've been able to pass on the raw material increase, but all the increase in coal and freight has not been able to be passed on. So it's like a double whammy.
No, no, sir. I'm looking more from the gross profit margin perspective. Understand below gross profit, there is an increase in coal and indirect costs, which
gross profit may the main issue has been, sir. The absolute increase we've gotten. So the percentage looks not in line, but otherwise we've been able to pass on the absolute increases. So it's not a question of the high raw material issues here.
So we per kg basis we are able to protect the gross profit per kg.
Yes.
Got it. And then there is a volume decline. So just to understand, how should we see this going forward for Sudarshan? In the H2, we will be commissioning all of our plants, and hopefully we stabilize the plant. All these teetering issues are behind. Is it really possible for us on a low base to hit a 25-30% kind of a growth in the second half?
So I think it's a very difficult question to answer because of the global, you know, we are seeing a lot of global slowdown in several of the export markets, right? As far as India is concerned, like I mentioned, plastic, we hope that it recovers and what it is. So it's really how the export demand really picks up, right? And how situation, you know, situation across the world, we are seeing a much lower demand. And I think the industry is also showing, seeing a much lower demand. So I think it really looks how the global scenario shapes up.
No, for us, it's a new product, new category, new capex.
Sorry?
So for us, we are adding a significant capacity. It's a new product for us.
Yes.
For us, I can understand the global problem, which was growing, pigment was growing at 3-4% may probably end up declining this year. But for us, the situation is very different, right?
Yeah, so our situation on the capex and the etc. should be much better in the issue, definitely.
Okay. Just one last question from my side.
Yes.
There is a steeper decline sequentially in the specialty, while the non-specialty part has not declined so much. It's just 1.1% decline for non-specialty. Specialty is declined more steeper. Any particular trend in specialty which has caused this decline?
I think so. The main decline in the specialties has been in the plastics area, which we were talking about.
Okay, plastic is generally the specialty part which has declined.
Also, yes, also, yes.
Okay. Sorry. I was taking one last question here. Again, on this overall CAPEX, what is the issue which we mentioned about the tethering issue which has impacted our yield and increased the cost? Can you help us understand that a little bit more and how serious it is or how much time will it take to stabilize?
No, nothing serious. I think, you anticipate certain margins, no, with your CAPEX is. We've not been able to realize those margins because obviously the capacity utilizations are very low and some of the initial things on some of the yields, etc., have been lower compared to what we expect. So all these teething issues should definitely get streamlined in next. So nothing major which is a problem, but the margins have not been at the expectation.
That's mostly to do with the yield part of it, right?
Yield and also your higher, some of your higher manufacturing costs.
Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you, sir, and best of luck for the future quarter.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Amar Maurya from Alf Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Rathiji, thanks a lot for the opportunity. So first question is little bit more to understand. When you say that, the volumes are not much even in this quarter. So what would be the volume growth in this particular quarter? Hello?
Yes, sir. So, coming quarter, sir, I think coming quarter, like I said, the export demand looks quite subdued. We are hoping that the Indian demand starts recovering on the plastic side a little bit. I don't think, we are not anticipating a very bullish Q2, right? But Q3 onwards, we expect a much better recovery.
So on a full year basis, what kind of volume growth you expect in 23, and what was the volume growth, let's say, in 21? Because, 22 was broadly, again, a subdued year for us. So in terms of that, what kind of growth you expect in the full year basis?
It's very difficult to answer that, given the global scenario, what's happening, right? So, major economies like Europe have slowed down. China has not been, China has a forced, zero tolerance for COVID. So a lot of the industry was almost under shutdown, right? So it's a very difficult time for the industry, I think.
Okay. But sir, what I understand here is that broadly, we are not exporting anything to China, right? And in terms of our overall contribution to the overall industry is less, and we had commissioned like almost around a significant amount of CAPEX. So despite all that, we don't see the visibility, let's say, in second half 23, what kind of volume growth, because I believe by the time your new products will also come, right? All the teething manufacturing issue which you have, those also will be resolved by that time.
So there's a significant thing on the new products, but the base of our other base products are significantly significantly declining, right? So the issue, when you ask me for an outlook, really that demand needs to be regained again, right? That's that's the main concern, sir. And that's where I'm not able to give you a forward-looking number saying that my growth is going to be substantial. Definitely, CAPEX is, there's a good attraction on the new CAPEX that then we should sell there.
And when you say, sir, this polymer business, this would be how much percentage of our revenue?
So plastics is a very important market in India for us, sir.
So, let's say domestic market, 45-50% would be polymer? In terms of your...
One minute. Sir, plastic is a major one, and plastics, coatings, inks, and then cosmetics, that's the kind of, you know, where we have the
plastic, coatings, and then ink. That is for the domestic, or this is for the overall company?
Domestic, sir, domestic.
So, like, let's say if we see plastic would be 50% of our revenue?
Sir, we don't give split ups right now, but I think it's a good part, sir.
Okay. And sir, export, like you are, I mean, plastic, I can understand that, you know, but if I see the growth in the revenue, I mean, is it like your export, because you are a little bit concerned about the export also, other than the domestic. So what is basically haunting us in the export? Same segment, same sectors?
Major economies, sir, like Europe, as I said, first quarter was okay, but next quarter also, I just met all the customers. Everyone is looking at a subdued demand. And Europe is already, we are looking at a big subdued demand. So all economies like Europe, Turkey, China already was under this. I would say all economies were under slowdown. And now US may join in the next quarter. So that's what we're concerned about.
Okay. And secondly, sir, about one last from my side, in terms of your below the EBITDA, below the gross profit, your cost which has gone up is largely the power cost, or this is new manufacturing coming up, so the new employee cost, and that is also going to, that is also impacting your overall cost?
Mainly power and logistics, sir.
Okay. Fine, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Meet Vora from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the question. When we say that we are seeing slowdown in demand from the end customers,
we're not able to hear you properly.
Am I audible now?
Yes, much better. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. So when we say that we are seeing slowdown in demand from the from our customers, how do we see the pricing of our products? Because as we see subdued demand, is there pricing pressure as well on our products? And at the same time, there is a pressure from the input side as well. So will we see some kind of margin contraction going forward because of this?
So I think whatever margin contracts had to happen, I think it has happened now. It should not get worse than this. The good part is we are also seeing a lot of raw material costs are decreasing, right? Yes, there is a pressure on the finished goods also, but good part is we are also looking at raw materials which have started decreasing now, right? Of course, so that's the scenario right now. So.
Yeah, sure. And on the new CapEx side, of this 520 crores that we have already put to use, approximately how much of this we are using, and you know, we were guiding how much of asset turn on this? Because as we say that there are, you know,
So there are past three, so there were new products. The new products, CapEx in this, we are able to, so there were three parts to it, right? One was, one major part was on the, one major part was for the new products, then there was existing products ramp up, and then the third was on your utilities and EBITDA improvement, right? EBITDA improvement projects. So the utilities today, because of the coal prices, we are not able to utilize and gain those benefits because it makes sense. It makes better sense to purchase the electricity. Where we have increased our volumes on existing products, we are not able to utilize that now because the existing demand itself has dropped. On the new products, it's a good, there's a good attraction right now.
Sure. So of this total of 750 crores, how much will be new products?
Sir, I think right now we don't give that breakup, but I think I would say that you know, I would say that there's a fairly good mix in the three areas, right?
Okay, sure, sir. So maybe like 2/3 of the CAPEX, which we have already commercialized, we are not able to utilize it fully. And this balance of 220 or 230 crores, which is yet to be put to use, will be what part? It will be utilities, or I mean new products or old existing products?
New products.
It will be new products. So the ones which we are still yet to ramp up is still yet to commission.
Yes.
Okay. Sure, sir. Thanks. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Muchal from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. So just to understand the industry structure a bit better, so you mentioned demand is a bit weak, which is probably is understood. But on the supply response, you mentioned that the fuel and other cost and logistic costs you're not able to pass on fully. But I was trying to understand this fuel cost or logistic cost increase probably should be for all players in the industry. So isn't the supply responding well, or is it because the supply, I mean, there is a significant oversupply in the industry, or, I mean, I'm not sure what's causing this. Because you mentioned that the RM prices you are able to pass on, which on a per kg you are able to maintain this, but the fuel cost you are not able to pass on, the power cost. So, I mean, is it differently structured, the industry is differently structured versus you, or what's causing this?
No, I think almost all the major, you know, this is an industry phenomena where we have not been able to pass on because the increase is too high, too steep, right? The industry is not seeing this. And it just happens that the raw material part has got passed on because it's very transparent. This is the first time in the history where you've seen some of the fuel prices increase so much. That's the reason the industry has not been able to absorb those increases.
Okay, so even the larger players are not able to take this price increase on account of fuel. Because now, for example, now we even see some of your peers in probably in Europe are also facing this cost of fuel, significant, probably even higher than you. Even they are not able to pass on the cost increase, particularly for fuel.
I think so. Generally, I think we have to wait for the results. But what we understand in the industry news is that the utilization demand has been low, and that's been a concern for everyone to then pass on the increase.
So basically, a bit of both. It's a bit of weak demand and probably a situation of some bit of oversupply, probably caused also because of weak demand.
Yes, true.
Sure, sir. So the second question is, we are seeing some decline in the freight cost. Earlier in some of the calls, you had mentioned that the freight is a big issue when you are trying to export it to Europe because of the sea freight. How is that moved? We have seen some decline in freight cost over the last probably few months or so. So is the situation improving now in terms of your competitiveness to export, or, I mean, it's still not much different versus what it was earlier?
So it's definitely softening, but it's not going back to the original levels at all.
So you still, I mean, face that pressure from the local manufacturers in Europe. They don't face that freight cost that way.
Sorry, can you repeat that, sir?
I mean, the local manufacturers in Europe don't have to suffer from the freight cost, and hence that differential to you remains an impact.
Yes.
Got it. And sir, also you mentioned, last two questions, sorry. You mentioned that you are facing some equipment availability issue for some of the upcoming CapExes in your opening remarks, if I got it correctly. So are these equipments very different or very unique? Because we have seen some consistent delays in some of our CapExes. Probably part of the, I understand, was the reason of COVID, but some delays consistently. So are these equipments very unique, very customized and very specific to us? Because I see across companies, the execution has relatively been on mark, but for us, there has been some delays. So just trying to understand this better, sir.
Sir, in general, I think in general, there have been a lot of equipment delays earlier times because of COVID and shutdowns, but I think now we're almost got everything going, and we should be completing all the capexes by H2. It's one.
Oh, okay. Sorry. The reference was to earlier delays. Okay, got it. Sorry, my mistake. And then lastly, you mentioned that intermediate prices are still increasing in the opening remarks, but then later on you had mentioned some that you are seeing some softening in RM. So just trying to get this better, are we seeing still some pressures in RM or this RM pressure is softening now?
Firstly, to clarify, I think the context of saying increasing was, this was the June end, right? June end figure, right? Where we are referring to a softening of demand is which is happening now in August, right? So, so that's the clarification we'd like to give. So in June end, we were still looking at some increases, but it's suddenly now in August it started to come down.
Okay. So that should help somewhat, of course, in the context of the weak demand. Sure, sir. Got it, sir. Thank you so much. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Viral Shah from Anam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, one question on the power and freight cost side. Would it be possible to share the number for the quarter and for the comparable period in the previous quarters? And this would just help us get a better sense of how those costs have behaved and the kind of impact on the margins.
Yes. Don't break up the numbers, but I think it can be seen, cross margin, the increases majorly contributed due to that. So
second question is on the cash conversion cycle. If I look at the presentation, it says the cash conversion cycle has increased to 114 days from 96 days quarter on quarter and year on year basis. So can you give us more information on the same? What led to this increase?
So on the cash conversion cycle, there has been some increase.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
We have lost you, sir, in between. Can you
interrupt? Mr. Viral Shah, there is a lot of disturbance from your line. May I request you to please mute yourself while management is answering your question?
Sure, I've done that.
Thank you.
So, Viral, the cash conversion ratio or the number of days cycle has been increased to 114, couple of reasons. One is we paid our creditors on the due date, and which has actually reduced the DPO by 15 days, and there has been also some improvement which has been done on the data side. Couple of days DIO increase, so put together it is slightly higher, but I see that this is more coming from our due date payment to the creditor has been improved.
Okay. And just a clarification, you said that the ongoing capex projects of close to 220 crores, should that commercialization happen by the end of Q H1 FY23? Is that right?
So as we mentioned, Viral, that this will get put to use by H1, and post that it will start commercialization.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Amar Maurya from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks a lot for the opportunity. Two questions from my side. Number one is in terms of the current revenue, what would be the revenue from the new product which we had commissioned, in last 1.5 years? Second question is, when you say that, majority of the EBITDA margin got impacted because of the power and logistic cost, so are you saying that 34 crore was the impact to the overall cost? Hello.
So there has been an impact because of two reasons. One is that the demand has been lower, so we've not seen a good demand volume increase. And the second has been on the both sides. So I would say that both have contributed, but the fuel and the logistics cost has a higher contribution to this.
Sir, yeah, I would request if you can mention that, because, you know, as you know, it would be helpful for us, like, you know, is that the quantum was 10 crore, 12 crore, I think that would be make our life easy.
Okay, we'll consider that.
And secondly, in terms of the revenue, you know, what would be the new product contribution in the current quarter's revenue?
So currently, from a competitive perspective, we don't declare that, sir.
Sir, at least percentage, that will help us to understand the capex which got commissioned. I mean, how far it is, you know, getting mature, what is the update on that, like, you know, because it's a significant capex for us, right?
Absolutely, it's a significant capex, and I think we, going forward, we'll look at it, but I think one of the areas is, as mentioned, so we will look at it, so how we could give it without declaring much of the...
Yeah, I mean, that would be, at least you can give us utilization or whatever. I mean, that will, because otherwise, I mean, everybody is in darkness, you know. We don't know what is new, what is old, and how it is coming up.
Understood.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question, Mr. Maurya?
I think sir is going to answer, right, in some time. Is it
we'll look at it going forward, sir.
But sir, at least for the power cost, I mean, can you disclose what would be the impact of the power and logistic cost in this quarter?
Sir, we'll have to declare it as a on the stock exchange first, whatever information we give. So we'll look at it from a corporate this perspective, or how we can.
Okay, but I think we can disclose, sir. That is basically, I mean, that is for the college, right? I mean, the call is for getting more detail. Already you had announced your results.
We look at it, sir. We will, how we can split up and break up, and we will, if you're able to publish, we will publish it on the, this. Yeah.
Sure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So first question is, what would be the peak debt post-commercialization of the ongoing projects, and what is the average cost of debt? Thank you.
So hi, Rohit, Nilkant here. So as we mentioned that we are nearing the closure of this CAPEX, you know, growth cycle incurrence. So I see that peak debt, the current level of debt should be the highest, and we should see the structurally gradual decline to it.
Right, and average cost of debt?
So, majority of our, you know, CAPEX loan are, you know, those are from the, those are in the foreign currency, and, you know, 1/3 is only the working capital. So, I see the cost of funding to be in the range of 4 to 4.5.
Right. And second question is, now since we are putting up a massive capex, which will come to fruition, for the next couple of years, do we have any further plans in terms of new products which may get commercialized, or probably our focus will be predominantly to utilize the existing facilities till they, you know, they are utilized till 60-70% utilization? Thank you.
Part of this strategy, all our new products are getting introduced. So the first focus will be to ensure that we are able to utilize all these capacities and drive revenues and margins up. Right? We don't see any kind of close investments immediately.
Right. And one just last question. In terms of the new products, out of the four segments, what would be our major focus area? You said in terms of plastics, coatings, inks, and cosmetics. So where will be our focus lying for the new product from the new facility? Thank you.
Coatings and plastics, sir.
Okay, sure. That helps. Thank you so much, and best of luck, sir.
Thank you. Thanks, Roy.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Govindal Gilada, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Rajeshji. Hello?
Yes, sir, we can hear you. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Rajeshji.
Good afternoon, sir.
I got only one question, sir, in last call, if I remember right. You have guided that first quarter margin will be little better than last quarter, fourth quarter. So the call happened on 26th of May. It is almost 2 months have gone for this first quarter. So what went wrong in 1 month that margins have almost from 14 to it has come down to 7%?
I think, sir, we did not anticipate the raw material increase. So it wasn't much. I mean, we were looking at a perspective from the April perspective. So I think we were not, we had not anticipated the cost and the decline in demand simultaneously. Industry did not anticipate it, and the entire industry came up. It's been a very tough time for the industry. Neither did we anticipate that in India, the plastic polymer availability issues, etc., would be so severe that we were affected.
With due regard, sir, I appreciate your concern. I can also understand, but my only concern is that instead of 2 months, we couldn't gauge. Going forward, just 1 month was remained in quarter. So we have given guidance. That's what I was wondering. In 1 month, cannot things go so wrong that EBITDA can become 14 to 17, 7, and where we are expecting a little better than 14. So at least 1 month visibility we didn't have. That's what was surprising.
Right. So as I mentioned, sir, I think firstly our view was from April perspective, May was not completed. I think we were seeing a good demand in April, and that's where we were coming up with the picture. May and June have been completely subdued demand, and the costs have further increased. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shalan Nandikur, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is, like, from last 2-3 years, we have been hearing that two major players in the segment are now, like, they quit this industry. Like, so just want to know, how are you getting benefited from that? Obviously, you should be getting benefited from that. From when that is taking effect? And also want to know, any new competition has been come into the picture in India as well as outside? Because of that, the growth is like not happening to the same.
So, sir, the integration process of the first year BSF and DIC is still ongoing. We've not seen so they are not, we've not seen any impact of that on the market. They still work, that integration effect. The Clariant, Heubach and SK Capital, that integration is in progress currently. And I think we expect by the end of the year, this process should get completed and we should be able to acquire. But, the scenario of getting benefit is, of course, is there on the, there are tailwinds. However, given the market scenario is currently so subdued, that it will take some time for us to see that portfolio with us. Yeah.
Yeah. And on the second part of the question, like, any new player entered in this segment in India and outside? Like, because of that, you are seeing the competition and that's impacting the growth.
So we've not seen any new players come into India right now.
Okay. And many other companies, although not in this segment but different segment, they have been able to pass the prices of logistics and commodity to their end customers. Only they were suffered for the first quarter when this issue happened. So why you are not able to pass the price to the end customers? Like, it's been like almost like 3 to 4 quarters of challenges with respect to logistics and commodity price increase, right? So what's the challenge? Why are you not able to pass the price to end customer? Is it because of the competition? What is it?
Because I think, from a perspective, the industry, there has been such a steep increase in RM, fuel, and logistics that the entire combined increase to pass on has been very tough for the industry. Also, I think, our raw materials, the customers understand, but they're not able to gather the fathom of the energy, etc. crisis, which has not, so as an industry, it's not been very successfully passed on.
Okay, but going forward, how are we planning to handle that? Like, will we be able to pass on the price? We have had a dialogue with all the end customer partners to pass on the price, or if the situation continues, because the challenges never end sometimes. If we see the latest event which happened, China-Taiwan, so we never know, right? So whether that we have started that discussion?
The challenges have been twofold. One is the entire pass on, and then a shrinkage in demand, right? So that's what has yielded to this decrease in EBITDA margin. As I mentioned, we've of course constantly been having dialogue with customers on what we can pass on, what we can increase. But it really, in a subdued demand perspective, it's a little tough. To do that. The good part, as I mentioned, is raw materials are coming down, so that should help.
But overall, if you see the automobile sector numbers are going high, and many other sectors also, they are, even the, if you take FMCG numbers, some of your product goes there as well, cosmetics and automobile numbers. Overall, we see all those numbers look good from few of the major players across the globe. So then why there is no demand for you? Like, what do you mean by demand is shrinking? When we get to know all these good numbers from the automobile and cosmetics and FMCG, even in the paint industry, even like India, there are many new players entered into the paint. So when we see outside, we keep aside the Sudarshan, when we see outside, there is a demand we are seeing from their numbers, then why is the demand shrinkage from your perspective and from your statement?
As I mentioned, if you split up the demand in the domestic perspective, our demand for coatings and printing inks was very good. We were badly hit in plastics, right, as an industry, because more than 50% of the time there was polymer availability issues in the market, and that's how our customers got impacted. On a global scenario, I think if you look at our product range and where our products were going, I think if you look at first the decorative paint industry, which is the largest consumer, Q1, I think most industries have not been doing very well, right? The second industry, I would say, is the plastic coloration market, again, has not been doing very well. So the two major markets which drive our growth, which have not been are doing well. So it's not that our end industries are doing phenomenally well, and that's what's happened.
Sure. And one last question,
Mr. Sharan, may I request you to please rejoin the queue? We have participants waiting for the turn.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
So just one question on the engineering business. So does it have a seasonality as well, or is it purely based on the demand and probably projects the way they are executed?
So Rohit, Nilkant here. So it is typically the engineering business wherein the
project business.
Yeah, it is a project business. So the Q1, revenue ramp up is normally slow, which is around 50%. But there is no demand issue as such, and the company is on the correct path. We should see in Q2, Q3, the quarterly profit number should come. We have reviewed this, last week before our board meeting. So this were anticipated, it is on the correct path.
And as I understand, we also had a project in terms of optimization of resources and the entire rejig in terms of structure. So any palpable benefits from those projects where we had hired even some of the consultants, et cetera, over the last couple of years? So any material, savings from those projects?
Sure. I don't know which project, but we had looked at the entire strategy for growth and optimization of cost, which had happened in the last that was completed. What we are really impacted right now is by the increase in costs, and that's where we come to see that.
Right. Got it, sir. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Puneet Kabra, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, the question that I had was, out of the capex that we did, how much of that was for backward integration, and are we seeing the benefits of that already, or the ramp up is yet to happen and we see that in the future?
On the backward integration, we have not done, we had indicated earlier, we have not done much of the investments in this space. We are looking at how we can partner with some of the vendors and as some of the technologies have been developed and see how we could get those benefits.
And second question, sir, is I believe recently one of our products had got an anti-dumping duty imposed. Could you throw some light around how that playing out for us? I mean, are we now able to get a better pricing on that product or what's exactly happening since that anti-dumping duty got imposed? And what contribution does that do, if you can share that?
So that product line, we are having some, there are some legal issues which are getting sorted out by our anti-dumping team. So we expect those issues to get sorted out, and then we should be able to see a better margin, sir.
So as of now, we are not getting benefited by that anti-dumping duty.
We have started getting benefit. However, as I mentioned, after that, there was some legal issues which are getting sorted out, and after that, we should then see a good benefit coming in.
Okay. And can you share what percentage of our raw material continues to be imported from China or overseas? Could you share that number?
So currently it is in the range of 30-35% of the total RM consumption.
And have it? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deep Paul, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So, sir, my question is, since now industry is consolidating and there is two players, so it would be a duopoly market, right? And Sudarshan with only 3% market share is aiming to gain market share. So what do you think, why it would be possible? What kind of cost leadership do Sudarshan have which will make us win in this market?
I think the market, when there is a lot of consolidation happening, customers are looking for alternatives. As, a customer doesn't want to depend on one source for the additional, and that's where our tailwinds are there, and that's where we will get benefited.
Okay. Yeah. So we are competitive based on cost compared to our competitors, or we are at par at cost level?
We really focus when we are selling on when we are selling our value to the company, value to the customer, and try to deliver how we can prove that our products deliver a better value. Rather than the cost conversation, we kind of focus really on how our products are going to deliver better value.
Okay. Yeah. And
sorry,
so there is no competitor in
Paul, may I request you to please rejoin the queue? We have participants waiting for the turn. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amar Maurya from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead. Amar Maurya, please go ahead with your question. Your line is
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Can.
Yeah. Sir, one question from my side. Basically, you know, if you see the revenue growth, I mean, last quarter you indicated that you are basically choosing the customers because, you know, whosoever is not giving the price hike, we were not basically, you know, keen to sell the those kind of customers. Now in the Q1, basically the whole demand got collapsed. So scenario is further worsened for us. So basically the point which we are trying to understand is that, you know, both from the revenue perspective and from the EBITDA margin perspective, do you see the worst is yet to be seen from here on because the scenario is completely changed now for us?
So I think Q2 we expect we don't expect a major recovery. We feel the worst is right there, right? We can't nothing worse. Q2 we don't see a major a complete turnaround. However, as I mentioned, raw materials have started softening, Q3 onwards we should look at good demand. Our capex is also would be streamlined by there, so those we'll be starting to gain benefit from there too.
Okay, so basically when you say Q3, post Q3 you will see good demand, so when you say the new product, the existing capex which got commissioned, do you have some lineup, do you have some commitment from the customer, something like that, you know, which gives the visibility that Q3 is going to be actually better than Q2?
Yeah, so we already, like I said, there's good attraction on those products. We have to make sure that we are able to realize our targeted margin in Q3.
Okay, and this is largely with the yellow pigments?
Yeah, sir, there is yellow, there is also red, various pigments, yes, sir.
Okay, fair enough, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thanks, Rituja. Thank you, Nitesh, and thank you, participants, for your time and interest in Sudarshan Chemical. As we mentioned, it was indeed a difficult quarter both on volume as well as margin trend. But as we have gone through, we remain confident in the long-term prospects of our business. We look forward to engaging with you again in the future. Thank you. Stay safe.
Thank you. On behalf of Prabhudas Lilladher Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.